Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. Let's take a look and see what we have on the docket. First, the Lori Vallow case. Now, her attorneys are dropping just as quick as her husband's. Second, Michelle Traconis' attorney is outraged. Well, we'll take a look at that. And third, what not to do when interacting with the police these days. And fourth, the dumb criminal contestant of the day. They always return to the scene of the crime. Let's just try not to do it when the police are there investigating. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. If you have not already subscribed, we would ask you to please do so. Hit that little notification bell as well so that you receive word of when we put out new content. And as always, leave us a comment. We want to know what you have to think about the cases we discussed. First on the docket, Lori Vallow. For those of you who do not know, Ms. Vallow is in custody in Idaho, charged with two counts of desertion of two of her children. One is an adopted child, the other one is a biological child. But needless to say, no one has seen them for several months now, and she is not cooperating. She ran off to Hawaii shortly after her new husband's wife passed away unexpectedly. And she's been unable to assist the police in any way in the location of JJ and Tylee Vallow. Now, Ms. Vallow has had an attorney in Hawaii who argued for a bond reduction. They ultimately waived extradition, sent her back to Idaho, where she was advised of the charges, and a bond reduction hearing was held. Her bond was reduced from $5 million down to $1 million cash, property, or surety. She still remains in custody because bail bondsmen don't want to touch the case. Well, a bail bondsman will always touch the case if they have sufficient collateral. So the fact that her $1 million bond has not been posted means either A, the new husband, Chad Daybell, doesn't have enough cash to post the premium, and he doesn't have enough property to post the collateral, because that bail bondsman's going to want $1 million in collateral if she skips town. Now, her attorneys are disappearing as quickly as her husband's have been. She had three attorneys on the case, and now she's down to one. Now, could it be they just have some sort of dislike for Ms. Daybell? That's possible. The attorneys are privately retained, so they can quit or fire the client at any time. They think that maybe they're just not going to mesh well. Speaking from the perspective of a criminal defense attorney for some 25 years, you usually do not condone what your clients are accused of, but you will zealously represent them if you get paid. One of the undeniable truths that we talked about in the 12 undeniable truths coming from a criminal defense attorney is, one, it's always about the money. And when they say it's not about the money, then you know it's about the money. My guess is that there simply are not enough resources to go around to support three attorneys. Let's just say they're all billing at $300 an hour, and you have three of them showing up for court. That is literally $1,000 an hour. Chad Daybell is going to burn through his deceased wife's life insurance policy pretty darn quick, assuming he hasn't spent a bunch of it already in Hawaii entertaining and vacationing with his new wife, Lori Vallow Daybell. We'll see how this plays out. Ms. Vallow may soon have the services of a public defender if this follows. And most attorneys, as a general rule of thumb, don't like to get onto a case where a client has had a lot of attorneys. It shows either A, they're very difficult clients to get along with, or two, they have an inability to pay. People always ask, why do attorneys have to get their money up front? Well, it's not because in the criminal defense world, you think your client's not necessarily good for it. It's simply that most people want the attorney's advice, then they ignore it and do what they want to do themselves. And if you didn't get your money up front, they would simply not pay because they would say, you didn't give them the right advice, even though you did. That's why we put everything in writing. And they did the complete opposite, because everybody thinks they're a lawyer these days with the invention of Google. But let's face it, your Google search shouldn't necessarily replace a law degree. And just because you have a law degree doesn't mean that you are super smart. I would take someone with a law degree with multiple decades of experience and listen to what they have to say. Next on the docket, Michelle Trakonis. Now, if you, those of you don't recall, Michelle Trakonis was the ex-girlfriend of Fotos Doulos, who was accused of killing his wife, Jennifer Doulos. They have not found his body, and Fotos Doulos passed away via suicide. And of course, he did write a note that's completely inadmissible, saying that Michelle Trakonis had nothing to do with the disappearance of his wife. At some point during the investigation, the police were able to obtain a search warrant and take photographs of Ms. Trakonis' body and obtain DNA evidence and things of that nature. Apparently, Ms. Trakonis' attorney is completely outraged that this took place. Well, Mr. Attorney for Michelle Trakonis, save your outrage just a little bit. You know as well as I do that a judge authorized those photographs to be taken, and just because it was done and your client was embarrassed and or humiliated, in and of itself is not a reason for those photographs to be thrown out in a motion to suppress. Bottom line, that's just the way it is. They were held, photographs taken and put into evidence. Now, should they be dispersed to the public? No, but that's not going to result in them being suppressed. And frankly, assuming Ms. Trakonis had nothing to do with it, the police probably found no scratches, bruises, blood, anything along those lines on her body as well. So really, what does it matter unless there's some sort of incriminating evidence that would be there? That's why you file a motion to suppress, is that you say there is evidence that is incriminating, but this evidence was obtained illegally, judge, and therefore you should not allow the prosecution to use it. That's what he's trying to do. So we'll see how that fits into the big picture. But I would save my outrage just a little bit, maybe for trial. When you start claiming that everything is a travesty of a mockery of a sham, you lose a little bit of credibility. You have to save the travesty of a mockery of a sham for the extreme cases, no doubt. Next on the docket, what not to say when interacting with police these days? Well, let's use a real-life example of what not to say to the police. Well, Leah Piazza, 28, she was pulled over just the other day. She was suspecting of driving while under the influence of alcohol. Apparently, she became belligerent with the police officers, as many people do when they're drunk. While the officers were interacting with Ms. Piazza, the officers apparently told her to stop breathing on the officers, and she persisted. And then she told the officers, "I have the coronavirus, and now you do too." Of course, this sets off a bunch of bells and alarms and triggers and self-quarantines and all those types of good things. And guess what? Well, everything that Ms. Piazza had said, first that she had it, that she had got it from her boyfriend. Well, it turns out she didn't have it. She didn't get it from her boyfriend, which is good. But not only did she get charges for driving under the influence, careless driving, reckless driving, and refusal to take a breath test. Additionally, she was charged with false public alarm for her conduct of breathing on the police officer. You can't do those kinds of things. Let's face it. I get this question all the time. People want to get rude and belligerent with police officers. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you think the officer's doing something inappropriate, you go along with it and you challenge it in court. You don't get to run. You don't get to resist. And you don't get to breathe on the police officers just when you're trying to be an ass. Ask Ms. Piazza. I bet she would do this all over again. But that alcohol perhaps affected her ability to make good decisions. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Everyone has heard the saying, the criminal always returns to the scene of the crime. Well, we have an example of that from Gallup, New Mexico. And the Gallup Police Department were investigating a burglary report when a gentleman by the name of Sage Aaron Cummings approached the officer and said, "I'm the one that burglarized this apartment, and I feel really bad about it." Now, Mr. Cummings states that he was, once again, very intoxicated, if you're starting to notice a theme here, when he entered the residence. Apparently, he only remembers knocking on the door, and it was apparent that no one was home. He entered the residence, and upon awakening in his residence the following day, he had two TVs in his room. He apparently later was informed that one of the TVs actually belonged to a friend, and this is what warranted him to come forth and talk to the police. Only thing that got Mr. Cummings, who is 24, was being arrested for receiving stolen property, and he was ultimately released on bond pending future proceedings. Couple rules of thumb there. Maybe you don't want to drink so much that you don't remember what you did. Second of all, don't go into places you don't have permission to do. Third, don't take things that are not yours. And fourth, if you've decided to ignore advice 1, 2, and 3, don't tell the police that you did it. Come to your attorney, pay him a retainer, cleanse your soul of all your guilt, all right? And you have been admonished of that guilt. It is not going to result in a criminal charge if you tell your attorney. When you tell the police, you just cut out all the steps and they arrest you right there and then, just like Mr. Cummings did. So hopefully we provided a little bit of news, a little legal education, and maybe tips of what not to do today. So thanks for watching Crime Talk. Have a great day.